Welcome, welcome to Law and Gospel on this Monday, May the 18th in the year of our Lord 2015. I'm Pastor Tom Baker and I'm all alone today. Tomorrow we'll have the Reverend Mark Smith with us as we look at a Pentecost hymn. I tell you, I had to informed the secretary as I walked into the building today that there was a robbery outside. A dozen trees are missing. That's right. Somebody cut down a dozen trees on the sidewalk leading up to the front door. And I really miss those trees. They were like 20, 30 feet high. And I didn't have to use an umbrella because there were so many. They're all gone. So we're going to put out a warning, try and find out who stole the trees. It just looks different, the International Center, without those trees there. But I also want to thank the good people at Our Redeemer Lutheran Church in Carrollton, Illinois. Had the wonderful pleasure of preaching there and doing a Bible study. It was a lot of fun. I tell you, those are great people, and it was very enjoyable. They had some good questions, and of course, I kept giving them questions, and it was difficult for them to answer them. That's my style. But I think we've got a few more listeners. Carrollton isn't that far from St. Louis, about 40 miles out of St. Louis through Alton. And so they should be able to get AM 850 KFUO. But if you can't, if you're in Carrollton, California, then you can go to KFUO.org. And be listening live right now. And if you missed today's program, you can archive it. That is, there's an archival section. You just go to Law and Gospel. By the way, I am doing more seminars. I've got three more set up now. A seminar is where I come in for 2 or 3 hours, sometimes 4, using videos to teach law and gospel. If you're all interested, then go to lawandgospel101.com and go under the contact section. And you can also click on seminar, and the one I'm going to be doing in South St. Louis in June, it indicates the answer, the questions I'll be trying to answer with my videos. This weekend, preaching at Emmanuel Olivet. Now, one of the things I did at Our Redeemer Carrollton, in light of the fact that they did not have a Ascension service on Thursday at their church, I dealt with the issue of the Ascension. And it became even more clear to me what a proper sermon is. You see, we all have problems. God has solutions. It's just one way of saying law and gospel. Every passage in the scripture has a distinct problem for us. And then we find out what God's solution is. For example, using Luke 15, the lost sheep, the problem is we are born lost in sin, dead in sin. There's nothing we can do to find God. We can't invite him into our heart. We can't make a decision because we're dead in sin. So what does Luke 15 teach? It teaches God's solution, that Jesus comes, finds us, puts us on his shoulders, and takes us home. So I'm really going to be working with this problem solution kind of thing. What I did, I asked the question, you know, had Christmas never occurred, what difference would it make? Had Good Friday never occurred, what difference? Had Easter never occurred, what difference? And then I got to, well, had the Ascension never occurred, what difference would it make? That's a question not many people can answer. And so the whole sermon was about that. By the way, if you would like to receive that sermon, all you need to do, at no cost, all you need to do is go to lawandgospel101.com and sign up on the list, the mailing list. You put your name and your email. You get one gift right away. And about Wednesday, I'm going to be sending out the sermon to everybody on that list. So if you're all interested in receiving the sermon, you get it as an MP3 and you can listen to it. What is the difference had the Ascension not occurred? Well, today's lesson is quite interesting It's Pentecost this coming Sunday. I'll be preaching, as I said, at Emmanuel Olivet, Saturday and Sunday. And there's readings from Acts chapter 2, which is the actual event of the Pentecost. John 15, where Jesus talks about sending the Holy Spirit. But Ezekiel 37 is pretty interesting. The vision that Ezekiel receives is a valley full of dead bones, and they were very dry. And God said to Ezekiel, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel said, "Oh Lord God, you know." And what happened, breath came into them, and they had all kinds of flesh and blood, and then they were risen from the dead. These bones. And the question I asked in the promo is, who commanded this to happen? And I said, you may be surprised. Because if you go around and ask most people, who was responsible for the command that these bones live, I'll bet you everybody's going to say God. But a careful reading of the text shows that that is partially correct, but not wholly correct. Listen to verse 4. Then God said to Ezekiel, "Prophesy over these bones, and you say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live." Wait a minute. Doesn't that sound like a contradiction? Is it Ezekiel prophesying over these bones? Or is it the Lord who is causing breath to enter them and they shall live? Answer, both. Listen to verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together bone to bone. Wow. Then in verse 9, God says to Ezekiel, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied, that's Ezekiel, as God commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived. Wow. Do you understand what's happening here? If you ask, who is the definite cause of these bones coming back together, the answer is God. Ezekiel has no power to raise these bones from the dead any more than normal human beings would have had the power to raise Lazarus from the dead. But Jesus, as the Son of Man, raised Lazarus from the dead. By simply speaking, Lazarus, come forth. And it's really kind of interesting that Ezekiel is saying to the bones, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Now, how can dry bones hear the word of the Lord? It's impossible. But not when you recognize that God is working through the word of Ezekiel. What we're really talking about here is what's referred to as the means of grace. God has died on the cross for you. He has risen from the dead for you. He has ascended into heaven for you. He has sent his Holy Spirit for you. And the goal of the sermon that each pastor should have is, first of all, show the problem that you have. And then, God's solution. The problem is always the law of the sermon. Do you have some friends, maybe even relatives, who are unbelievers? How do you get them to faith? You do it the same way Ezekiel does. You speak what God commands us to speak. And then God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, can bring faith to those individuals. The means of grace means, what is the means by which the gracious works of Jesus, his birth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, how do they come to you? They come through word and sacrament. Now, in this particular case, there's no sacrament of baptism of the Lord's Supper, as Ezekiel speaks to these bones, but there certainly is the word. And you may say, wow, that didn't even happen at creation, because in verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1, and the word said, let there be light. See, Jesus created all things according to John chapter 1 through his word. But guess what he does now? He now uses us to speak for him. We were talking about being at the right hand of God, and I asked the congregation yesterday, where is that? You have to wait till you get to heaven to be at the right hand of God? I said, no. Wherever God and the Father and Jesus, wherever they are, that is the right hand of God. And guess what? That's in worship today. Jesus is at the right hand of God. And you're there also, according to Ephesians 2, that you've already been ascended into heaven. You're at the right hand of God. The problem that I use for the ascension sermon is out of Romans 8, where it says, you do not know how to pray as you ought. So we don't know how to do proper prayers. Our mind is always moving off of them. We're thinking about something else. It may be out of self-interest we pray for things. But according to Romans chapter 8, God, the Holy Spirit, takes those prayers and refashions them so that when they reach the throne of God, they are perfect. Now, this is all a mystery to us because this is instantaneous seconds. As soon as you pray, God hears you. But it's very clear. So, for example, let's say, God, I want a motorcycle. The Holy Spirit will rephrase that to come to God the Father. God, I would like to have a motorcycle if it be your will. That's how the prayer is rephrased. This is really quite marvelous. We have a problem. We don't know how to pray. God solves it by refashioning our prayer for us. That's one of the benefits of the ascension. Okay? What's the problem we have in Ezekiel 37? We have the problem that we've got a lot of people that we love who are no longer believers. In fact, I'm reading a book put together by an atheist. We're going to maybe talk about this on Wednesday. I think I am, because it's just really quite fascinating. Because you have all these atheists and agnostics, and it's over 400 pages long, and they all write articles, why they no longer believe in God. And as I'm reading through them, there's always one single thing that is the same in every one of them. And we're going to talk about that on Wednesday. And I'll tell you, if I had their mindset, I wouldn't believe in God either. But we'll talk about that more on Wednesday, where I'll be using one of the articles by a Muslim lady who no longer believes in God. The point I'm trying to make is, when we speak the word of God, it's as though God himself is there. In fact, that becomes very obvious in the liturgy. Remember, the beginning of the worship service, traditionally done, begins with a reminder of our baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we kind of move to the John the Baptizer point of view. Remember, he brought a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. So guess what happens in the worship service? We begin by repentance. Poor, miserable sinner, deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. What happens after that? The pastor says, upon this, your confession. I, by virtue of my office, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. Now listen to the next part. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. When I first heard that as a kid, I thought he was saying, and instead of Jesus. No, he means in the place of Jesus. The pastor has no power to forgive sins. He only has the authority to announce the forgiveness of sins as the voice of Jesus. Those sins aren't forgiven if Jesus is not the one doing it. The pastor is like Ezekiel. The Lord commands us to announce the forgiveness of sins. Remember, Jesus' first night with the disciples gives them the power to forgive sins or retain sins. That's the authority they have. It's just like most human beings cannot put anybody to death executing them. But if you are a judge, you don't have the power to execute somebody. You have the authority to do so. You're speaking on behalf of the country, on behalf of the state, on behalf of the law. Similarly, God has decided, I don't know why he does this, but rather than Jesus appearing in church, the pastor appears in church in the stead and by the command of God. And therefore, what the pastor does is really God doing it. I've got no power to put water on somebody and have their sins forgiven, but I have the authority to do so and announce to them your sins have been forgiven. Why? Because that's what I was commanded. So let's get back to the main point that I'm going to be making here, the theme. What is the problem you and I have? We have a lot of good friends that may be only dead men's bones. How do we reach out to them? We reach out to them the same way that Ezekiel did. We prophesy as we are commanded. And the Holy Spirit can bring breath into them. That means life. I mean, it is so obvious in reading this book by atheists that they have no faith in God. And apart from faith in God, then the commonsensical conclusion is there is no God. We'll talk more about that on Wednesday. The point I'm making is that what do we prophesy? Now, the word prophesy, a lot of people think means to tell the future. No. There's two meanings to the word prophesy. It can mean tell the future, which, by the way, even the devil has that power. But it also can mean just preaching or proclaiming the message of God. But what message? The message, remember, that's what this program's all about. Law and gospel. The gospel is the message, not of the history of the Bible, but of the promises connected to the history. So what we have here is a wonderful example of how God's word works. A pastor takes the message of Scripture, proclaims it, and guess what? Dead bones come to life. A lot of times we don't realize what those dead bones are. A lot of times we don't realize that they're just unbelievers. But Ezekiel was not given the power to raise anybody from the dead. He was given the authority to speak the word of God. And I want to read a part of this text because it's really important. It says, prophesy, Ezekiel, over these bones. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. Now, who's I? Is it Ezekiel? No. It's the Lord. How do we know this? Because verse 6 says, and I will lay sinews upon you, will cause flesh to come on you, cover you with skin, put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am Ezekiel? No. And you shall know that I am the Lord. And so Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded, and wow, all these things began to happen. Breath came into them. They lived. They stood on their feet. An exceedingly great army. Now, by the way, who were these people? Verse 11, these bones are the whole house of Israel. And they are saying, our bones are dried up, our hope is lost, we are indeed cut off. But then the Lord God says, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. Now, how do these people come to faith, though? What is there about the word of Ezekiel that brings them to faith? It's verse 14. And that's why this is a Pentecost verse. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. And I will place you in your own land, which is the kingdom of heaven on earth. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is so important to understand. What is a proper pastor? A proper pastor is one who preaches what the Lord commands. I saw a movie recently, and this was a church who believes that God still gives us information and that there were certain people in the congregation that had the gift of discernment in the sense of hearing words from the Lord that aren't found in the Bible. And of course, you know where this ended up. This was a movie where the pastor and the secretary, even though the pastor was married, started fooling around, and one thing led to another until, guess what? The pastor's wife was murdered because she was in the way of the secretary. Oh, and but they got all this from the Word of God. I actually know of a pastor who divorced his wife so he could be a missionary. He thought that's what the Lord was telling him. If you ever hear a pastor say something that this is what the Word of the Lord wants us to do, you ask him for the Bible verse. And if he doesn't have a Bible verse, go find another church. I mean, there are pastors who will say, I got a message from the Lord, and he wants us to move to another area and rebuild this church. And let's say the name of the church is St. John's. So what you want to do is you want to find where in the Bible does it say St. John's needs to move to another location. Of course, there's no verse that says that. So don't listen to your pastor. I mean, I was just talking to an individual who had come out of a situation where the pastor gave instructions to the people in the congregation over everything. What car they were to buy, who they were to marry, what schools they should go to, what vocation or occupation they should become. This was a micromanager pastor. Well, I wouldn't even call him a pastor. He's no more a pastor than a woman can be a pastor. So it's kind of interesting. Heard a joke recently. It's kind of funny. This little girl goes to a church where they only had a woman pastor. And she was about 4 years old. One day they had a visiting pastor. And he was a male. And he was in the pulpit. And the little girl looked at her mother and said, "Can men be pastors also?" That was kind of funny since this is obviously a church that doesn't teach the Word of God properly. It's not easy to teach the Word of God because it's so ridiculous. Why can't women be pastors? I don't know. But God says no. Why can't men have babies? I don't know. God says no. Why can't I make a decision to invite Christ into my heart? I don't know. God says no. Why can't my works help me to be saved? I don't know. God says no. God is a real no guy, because he knows all things. But you can't find another God who has a bigger yes. A bigger yes in that you and I were born as a dead, dry bone. And he not only caused breath to enter into us, but he also moved me, in my case, for the Holy Spirit to enter in when I was baptized. That's the message. And the gospel are the promises of God connected to the events of salvation. And they are wonderful promises. And so we would pray that you would continue to find a church where law and gospel is preached in its purity and the sacraments are ministered rightly. Because if you don't have that kind of church, you are not getting the full comfort that God expects. I'm not saying people in that church are going to hell, but they may only have 70 or 80% of the proper message. You believe that Jesus is your Savior, you're on your way to heaven. But every denomination outside of Lutheranism fails to teach something that can be a comfort to you. That's why I'm a Lutheran. because I believe the entire Bible is necessary, and therefore in Lutheran theology, that is taught properly. If you want to know more about Lutheran theology and law and gospel, we're over 80 videos on our membership site. Go to lawandgospel101.com. First of all, you should put your name on the first list, your name and email address, because you get some free items. And then you should also join the membership site. It's only $10 a month, and every week you get a video. We're coming up to 2 years on that. And these videos are from a law and gospel perspective. Our last one was a wonderful professor I had when I was at the seminary, Dr. Norman Nagel. And he has some great things to say about Jesus. And by the way, anybody who joins during the month of May, we're not giving you 1 week. We're going to give you 8 free weeks just for $10. And then the week after, you'll get number 9. I'm Tom Baker. Tomorrow, Mark Smith. Come Holy Ghost, God and Lord. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.